The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender
with Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Brave and the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Brave and the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Live on tape from the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York City, it's Trevor Noah.
Oh, welcome back. You know my first guest tonight as the guy whose face is on the building. Please welcome Stephen Colbert! Wow.
I love that band. I love that band.
That right was... That I don't think my audience cheered for you like they were your audience.
Well, you know what? That's why you got the best audience in the world right there.
I have the best audience here.
I feel like...
Welcome to the show.
Come on with you. I feel like it's my audience.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks,
now,
man.
A lot of people don't know this about you, but you actually have your own late night show.
Rumor has it, yeah.
You tape usually during the day. Right, but then on
5:30.
Right, around 5:30. But yeah. But there are times when you go live.
Right after big events like conventions or debates,
right.
or we just did the State of the Union. Yeah.
Yes. Live. What is it like around here when you go live? Does the energy change?
Yeah, there's because normally when you do a show, you come in. Always looking at the clock. The clock is just spinning. Those hands are spinning. The hour hand is spinning so fast.
Right.
Because you know if you've got to hit every mark during the day. It's like those wheels that you slice ham on at the grocery store.
Yes.
That's how fast the clock is going. But when you come on a live show, it's actually really languid because you get in early and there's just nothing to do all day.
Right.
You just kind of pretend to be ready for the show. Because you're only going to talk about what happens an hour before the show.
Yes.
So everything gets written in the last hour and a half to an hour. And so it's just absolute kind of torpor and then just panicked action, just adrenaline squirting and I'm sure collapsing your organs, taking a year out of your life to get it.
You describe that in a surprisingly sexual way.
Wait, you do live shows too. What's your live show like? Don't you have that same experience?
Please, I'm interviewing you. Let's move on.
Unless you pretend to be live.
What are you? What is your? Let me ask you this. Do you ever have a
fear? Ask me anything. My life's an open book.
Do you ever have a fear that the live show will be boring because you don't know what it's going to be? Like State of the Union comes around. State of the Union is not an exciting thing. Trump is exciting.
Right.
Are you ever worried?
Trump on prompter is always a worry.
Yes.
Is that if he gets up there and he just reads what he was told to read, that the worry is that he'll seem normal. And then there's nothing to say. Because
do you have a backup plan?
Me?
Yeah. For when Trump sounds normal.
Panic? No, there isn't. Because you know what? I have a faith that something always will be strange. Something will always be a little odd.
Will always be strange.
And it's the nature of him. That sort of Il Duce, like this, this action, this Il Duce.
The hands. Thing. I love the hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This thing.
Yep.
And I like when he says something complimentary to the Democrats, and he goes, "And I believe that people should not be killed by their health care." Anything? Did you like that? You give me anything. We shouldn't actually grind up poor people and eat them. Anything? You're not going to give me anything?
Let me ask you this. There are There are a lot of people who tune into your show to get news. They watch the monologue. They want to know what the news is all about. What does Stephen think about it? Where do you get your news from?
Before I go to bed every night, I look at the New York Times. I look at Drudge to see how, like, the news story is being spun in one direction. I look at HuffPo to see how it's being spun in the other direction. I'll look at Reddit, like the front page, the politics page, the news page. And then when I get up in the morning, I'll check Twitter to see what the number one things that are
twending. That's what they should have called it. They could have twending.
And then I'll check his Twitter feed to see what he's been saying.
Right.
Because
he's been saying something.
What his mood is in the morning. How executive time went for him. How much fiber he had the night before determines how much executive time.
You know, I like it, the way you phrase it almost made it sound like you check on him like he's your child. Like, then I go to his room and check on how he's doing in the morning, he slept.
Looked at the nanny cam. I just looked at the nanny cam. That's what Twitter is with Trump.
It really is.
It's a national nanny cam.
Yes.
We
That's exactly what it is.
How's he doing?
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, he's cranky. He's not sleeping.
Let me ask you this. This is something I...
Is this mine?
Yeah, that's yours. We use it for all our guests, but it's yours for now.
Right now. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yes. Can you taste J-Lo? That's...
I am not going to touch that.
It's all the guests that you've ever had on one
I've
cup.
Never had J-Lo. She's never been on here.
Are you serious?
I wouldn't joke about that, Trevor.
Wow.
Have you had J-Lo on your show?
Twice.
You. Is that true?
Twice.
That doesn't bother me at all. Okay.
Let me ask you something personal, Stephen Colbert. I want to get into your soul. You said you're an open book. When you started hosting the show...
This show. Yes.
A lot of people were stressed that you weren't going to succeed.
Yeah, me too.
Right. And initially, you know, reviews came out. They were like, well, Colbert's lost it. This is it. He should have stayed on his old show. He doesn't have it. Was there a point...
They weren't that harsh. They were...
No, they were that harsh. You know why? Can I tell you why? I
didn't read them, but
I remember they were that harsh because they were similar to my reviews. That's why I remember them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I remember them.
Yeah, I remember those.
So let me...
J-Lo my ass.
Let me ask you... Let me ask you this. Was there a point... when you genuinely thought to yourself, I've made the biggest mistake ever? Was there ever a moment where you had doubts?
I thought that this was one of the most agonizing things I've ever done. I thought about that.
Right.
I never thought about stopping. And I thought... I worried that I had taken something beautiful, which was sort of this 9.5-year version of that character.
Right.
It was a sort of like a self-contained little snow globe of a show, you know, which sort of at the end of it we revealed was really just a field piece I was doing for John, you know, at the end. It was a 9.5-year field piece for John. And that was kind of like a little perfect little glass toy or something, how to describe it. It was a very delicate thing to have created. However oddly we did it, it was a very delicate thing to have created. And I thought, oh, I could have just walked away from that and kind of had this perfect little, not perfect in every conception or every moment of it, but kind of a very kind of perfect beginning, middle, and end kind of creation. And that now I had put myself in a situation of enormous vulnerability where I did not have an understanding of what I was doing. And that worried me that would be my legacy and not the legacy of the old show, which was not just mine, but everybody else who had worked on it. You know what I mean? But I never a moment imagined that I would stop, and I never lost faith in the people around me because I knew that these were the same people around me that had helped me create the first thing.
Yeah.
And it was my job to calm down and go back to work tomorrow.
There was the week, though, when you went number one in the ratings. And that was a victorious moment, I remember, for the staff, for the show, for everyone. It's an amazing moment as a host. Like, it's one of the scariest moments. A lot of people,
you know, think it's a dumb thing, but it really is a scary moment because it's not just your job, it's the jobs of hundreds of people who work on the show.
Sure, you feel a
responsibility. So you have that moment where they go, sure. Stephen, here it is, for the first time ever, you're number one mm-hmm. in late night. Mm-hmm. Like, how big was your that day?
Again, IMAX camera. That's around. No, the other thing is that we bought everybody on the staff pizza.
You know what? People take that for granted. Can I tell you something? There is something about late night stuff that, like, pizza has the most powerful emotional. I've treated the staff to everything from sushi to, like, Indian food to everything. But pizza day is the day when people go, like, yeah, this is the greatest boss in the world.
Well, I think I know why. Is because doing a late night show is a lot like moving into a new apartment. It is just sort of, it can be brutal grunt work.
Yes.
To get the thing up every day. And what do you give your friends when they help you move? You order pizzas.
Sushi would be horrible. Right.
On a moving day, all that sweat and all that steam.
Yeah, you want to treat yourself.
No, it's just like, it's pizza's exactly the right thing.
How do you treat yourself, Stephen Colbert? What do you do? Because I don't see you out anywhere, like, just like doing random.
But do you go out and do things?
I go out all the time. Go check my Instagram. I'm out everywhere, baby. I'm flying around. I'm in random places in the world.
How old are you?
I'm 34 years old.
You. What? What do you mean? What do you mean? Do you have any children?
No, Stephen.
I have three children, and I'm 54 years old. Now,
what does this mean? What does this mean, Stephen?
I can't even have, like, a glass of wine on a show night. You know, I can't even drink anymore, or else I'll be dead tomorrow. Because you know what? That would be fun, Trevor. That would be fun to go out. And I'll go out with Trevor, and we'll be on Instagram, and we'll hit the scene. We'll hit the clubs, and it'll be me and Trev and J-Lo, and it's going to be great. But you know what, Trevor? You know what? The next day, I wouldn't do the show at the level I know I could if I had stayed home, and I care about these people more than fun. These people, they are my party. These people are all I care about.
Well, you know what, my friend? The good news is, these people are not actually my people, they're your people. You deserve all of them. Thank you so much for coming to the show. Stephen Colbert, everybody!
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. We'll be back next week with all new episodes. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Hey, everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.